Right now, let's talk some Raptors, NBA free agency, and more with Tim McMahon. He's an NBA reporter at ESPN joining us to chat about DeMar DeRozan and other topics. Tim, thanks very much for being with us. How much do we read into the fact, as your story says, that DeMar DeRozan is so focused on re-signing with the Raptors, he really isn't going to do any kind of free agent entertaining a la Kevin Durant and others, Tim?
Well, obviously, if you're a Raptors fan, that's extremely encouraging news, and it really just backs up what he said, obviously, after the season ended, that he was committed to Toronto, wanted to be back. You know, he'd always wanted to be in Toronto, and especially now that they're winning. It should not be, I wouldn't think, a real complicated negotiation process. In this market, he's absolutely a max player. I mean, you can say all you want about, is he a $30 million a year player? Well, you know, hey, gas prices now aren't the same as gas prices in 1985, and that's basically the NBA economy has fast-forwarded about 30 years over these last couple of years. So there's no question he's a max player, and I would expect that, maybe even a 1201 in free agency type of thing where they agree to a five-year, $153 million contract. Now, I did read Sam Amick of USA Today, who suggested that DeRozan might actually leave a little bit of money on the table if things could be worked out with Biombo. So that would be interesting, and I think even further shows the commitment that DeRozan has to the Raptors franchise.
Well, that is all good news if that is indeed the case. And I guess, Tim, when it comes down to it, it's amazing because, you know, we've talked about this so often here in Toronto regarding this Raptor franchise, is that most significant free agents that have come down, there have been some great players that played in the Raptors in their 20-plus year history. Vince Carter, Stoudemire, Bosch, goes on and on. And when the opportunity has come, it's been their choice not to take part in what Toronto's doing. I think the fact that the team was able to go to the Eastern Conference Final not only turned a light on with DeRozan, but maybe with a lot of other people around the NBA about how good this team can be eventually.
Well, certainly the playoff run that they had, I think, has a lot to do with this. Obviously, Dwayne Casey has done an absolutely spectacular job since he's been the coach of the Raptors, and you've got one of the really good coaches in the NBA, I believe, has great relationships with his players. I think that certainly helps. And, hey, if we're being honest, the fact that they can offer a fifth year with larger raises throughout the course of the contract helps, too. I mean, yeah, if he goes somewhere else, he's leaving $39 million on the table. Why would you leave $39 million on the table when you can continue being a go-to guy for a team that just went to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Tim, you and I agree with you in terms of the way you structured the conversation when we started, saying that, well, listen, it's just economics in the NBA. He's a max player in Toronto. There was a little bit of conjecture as to whether the Raptors wanted to go in another direction. But end of the day, you know, what other direction is there? Which leads to the whole topic of available free agents. It's sometimes like, you know, players who are out on the market just seem to be better than your own players just because of a lack of familiarity, perhaps. Like, if it's not DeRozan, who else is going to take Toronto's money, and who should Toronto throw money at? That's got to be a big factor on both sides thinking, I would think, too.
You're not getting Kevin Durant. We know that. And you tell me, obviously, LeBron's not going to Toronto. Tell me a better wing player that's in free agency right now.
I mean, exactly.
We can discuss Dwayne Wade, but obviously he's significantly older, not to mention the fact that he's not leaving Miami. We're talking about a guy who just averaged 23.5 points per game, did it efficiently, is 26 years old, a two-time All-Star just entering his prime, has made huge, huge strides as a playmaker over these last few years. And again, a two-time All-Star who's got great size for a shooting guard, is a 20-point-per-game guy in his sleep, was the go-to guy on an Eastern Conference finalist. Hey, this is a no-brainer max player in this market.
Well, and I would agree. And, you know, Tim, and likes the city, which is a factor, as I mentioned in some of the other ones. There's no question, and whether it's the extra $39 million or not, obviously that's a part and parcel of it, but DeRozan has enjoyed his time in Toronto right from the get-go with Kyle Lowry and company, so we'll see how it all transpires. Let's talk about some of the other names, players out there. Kevin Durant is the big name out there, and certainly Kevin is going the opposite route of a DeMar DeRozan. He is willing to host and entertain as many free agent suitors that are down the pipe, and I'm sure there will be a ton, Tim.
Well, I don't know if he's going to host as many, because that'd be the entire league. But he's certainly going to take it. He's going to take at least a few, probably a handful of meetings. And it's funny because all the things I just talked about as reasons for DeRozan to stay. In some sense, fit with Durant. Obviously, the Western Conference finalist. He's got a superstar in his prime as a teammate. They've got a really nice core around him with Steven Adams really coming into his own during the playoffs. The one big difference here, though, is it's not necessarily the fifth year doesn't matter for Kevin Durant, because I'd be really, really surprised if he doesn't sign a two-year deal that he can get out of next summer, wherever he goes, because he's a guy who can go year by year, get maxed out. We all know the cap's going to leap again next year, and he can make much more money. He's also going up another tier, so he can get a top-level max contract instead of get that second level right now. So there's a lot of reasons for him to go kind of year by year, at least for one more year. But I tell you, I don't see a lot of reasons for him to leave Oklahoma City. I felt like when they knocked the Spurs out in the second round, that should have cemented him in OKC for at least one more year. And then Westbrook hits free agency, and you make sure that he's going to be there and maybe commit longer term. But he wants to listen to what the Warriors have to say. He wants to listen to what the Spurs have to say. Certainly there could be a few other teams there. I still think, though, this is going to end up with him back in Oklahoma City for at least one more season.
Do we see this 1+1 kind of deal, and Durant's situation is unique, but when other players come down the pipe like this, especially with the NBA salary cap going as high up as it continually does, Tim, this going to be more of the trend in terms of locking up? I mean, there's always the temptation to take that big whack of money in the security of longer years in case an injury or anything else, but an established star, superstar like Durant certainly can call his own shots in terms of length. And, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of players are going to look at it and go, why should I commit to 5 to 7? I'll take 2. And maybe there's even a better scenario 2 years down the road.
Yeah. I think this is a situation that maybe the top shelf superstars, it could become a trend for them. LeBron is handling his business that way in Cleveland. And what it does is it maximizes the power that they have in the franchise. It also lets them maximize the money that they're taking. But for the vast majority of guys, for example, going back to DeRozan, $153 million over 5 years, that's a lot of guaranteed money and a huge risk not signing that contract, as soon as it's put on the table. Now, let's be honest, Kevin Durant, he'd have to get his leg amputated or something for him not to get offered another max contract after this year. The bomb's in the same boat, but I just don't think the vast, vast majority of the NBA, even all-stars, are going to go year by year and leave that much guaranteed money on the table.
Yeah, no, that's true. The Durants and Jameses are few and far between. That is correct. How about the way he's planning to do it? I saw reports, you know, we're going to have the free agency meetings at one location and invite teams to come, and looks like Golden State, the Clippers, Spurs, the usual suspects, Boston Celtics would all come there and do that. As opposed, you know, we've seen in previous years, I know Chris Bosh was throwing out first pitches at just about every NBA city major league. I still have that sight of him because, well, that one's close to hard here, Tim, because obviously he left a rep.
Funny. I'd forgotten about that one, but that will never be forgotten in Toronto, I'm sure.
No.
You know, and I remember Carmelo taking kind of the wild tour when he hit free agency a couple years ago. But most of these guys, they'll have a headquarters. A lot of them are in L.A. where many of these agents are located. Some of them will be in New York. But most of these guys, they want to have their headquarters. They don't want to travel all over the country. You know, they want to take meetings on their turf. And, you know, maybe it's not like they're going to tour facilities. These aren't college recruiting visits where, you know, they want to go see, hey, okay, you know, what's the indoor facility look like, or, you know, whatever. Now, I mean, the facilities aren't big factors in this for the most part, and I just think it's easier for these guys to get a headquarters with their agent, you know, with whoever they need in the meeting that's in their camp, and have the teams come to them. And the majority of business in NBA free agency is conducted out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that does make sense from the perspective of it. And you're right, Kevin Durant knows very well what the arena looks like in Oakland and in San Antonio and other places. So we'll see. So given his decision being the big factor, Tim, the other suitors, Golden State in particular, San Antonio, who are already loaded. And Durant's number one, you know, criteria, according to everybody, is, and makes perfect sense, is to win and win now. And if you can do that in OKC, great, and then go somewhere else. But win and win now. What do the Warriors and Spurs then do, if anything, if they don't get Durant? Durant is such a generational player that you would disrupt your operation for him. But does that mean they then pull out of looking at any other free agents? What, which way those two franchises in particular are headed in your mind, Tim?
No, those two franchises are both going to absolutely be aggressive. They clearly have cores that can compete for a championship right now, and they're looking to add to that. In an extremely competitive Western Conference, and you know, clearly now Cleveland is at the top of the hill as far as the entire league goes. But what's going to be really interesting with the Warriors is how much of that core do they keep. Clearly, the three All-Stars, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, those guys are back. Those guys are the foundation. But they're trying to add another foundational piece, and to do that, they might have to move a Bogut. They might have to move an Andre Iguodala, probably one or the other of those. They wouldn't be bringing back Harrison Barnes in that situation. And, you know, they do have the right to match on Harrison Barnes. I think what will happen is they'll let him go out and test the market while they're targeting other things, and then they'll make a decision based on, what their other opportunities are. But, you know, Harrison Barnes is another guy in these economic times. It's going to get a contract. It's going to make a lot of people raise their eyebrows, but hey, when caps go up $24 million in offseason, that's what happens. And San Antonio, the other guy I've heard linked most with them is Mike Conley. I know he has some concerns about what the fit would be with Tony Parker there. Memphis can also offer him that fifth year, you know, and it's that same $39 million on the table situation that we discussed earlier. But I could see Mike Conley. I know there's mutual interest there.
Interesting. We're with Tim McMahon, NBA reporter at ESPN. I'm Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet Today. Dan Riccio coming up in a couple of minutes. Talk some TFC with us. Tim, before we let you go, the one advantage the Raptors have had, and I think people are very in a great mood about this franchise moving forward and how they can develop, but one of the reasons they have been as successful as they have is it's coincided with the Atlantic Division just basically being in rebuild mode. The Sixers are setting records for blowing it up and really tanking. Boston has been a work in progress. The Nets. But end of the day, there seems to be a trend now, especially, you know, Philadelphia again getting the number one overall pick, and Boston in particular, which looks like it's made great strides. How much of a favorite do you think the Raptors should be just in that division for the next year, and maybe better question, 2 years, until the rest of that division maybe wakes up and gets more competitive? What do you think?
Well, let's see how things shake out this summer for Boston. They've got a lot of cap space to work with, and they still have a lot of assets as far as the trade market goes. So I would say the primary competition for the Raptors is certainly the Celtics. That's a team that was pretty good last year. I think can get significantly better this summer. So we need to see how that shakes out. Philadelphia, obviously, they have put a young core in place. I think they still need to do some stuff in the trade market to kind of ease the log jam there at center, but they're probably still 2-3 years away from being in conversations about really being a threat to Toronto and Boston as well.
Well, we shall see. The offseason will be interesting and unfolds, of course, starting with free agency now that the draft is out of the way. Tim McMahon's got a great story on DeMar DeRozan on ESPN. Check it out. NBA reporter joining us today on Sportsnet Today. Tim, very much appreciate your time. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks for having me.